Somewhere. Each week we dive deep into whatever it is we find interesting. I'm your host, Calvin, and joining me, I don't really want to say Washington, D.C. right now, because that could have a bad connotation. I don't know. Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. It's your co-host, Nick Richardson.
I mean, that's tied with me, dude.
It's the original capital.
Right, and it's the city of brotherly love, but people can be kind of dicks and mildly aggressive, but the food here is
It's always very sunny good. There, too.
It's always sunny there, and I mean, it's been for at least 15 seasons.
Yeah. At least. The reason that Nick is in our ex-nation's capital and not the current capital is because it's a little dangerous in the current capital. So we went with the closest one, but we're going to attempt to do a roast of some former presidents.
Yeah, a little levity in this time of depravity.
Yeah, we're gonna try to keep it light. We've each chosen two presidents, and we're going to kind of discuss first who they are, maybe some of their accomplishments, and then we'll just proceed to roast the shit out of them as well as we can.
Well, and just so you folks are aware, we will not be roasting Donald J. Trump.
Yeah, see, I was gonna try again not to say his name, but yeah, I was getting there.
I mean, I think I'll just say he's not the boogeyman, and the orange fella Voldemort has lost its flavor.
It's perhaps the most roastable president ever. We are not going to include him.
Thinking about these literally every time, it's like, fuck, I back myself into a corner here. I just,
There may be some sideways jabs at him, though.
Mm-hmm.
In my feeling, there's just enough controversy surrounding him right now that we're just going to steer all the way clear of it, because more than anything, we're trying to make this fun, and if we piled it on now, it would just kind of border on sad and angry, and that's not what we're here for. By the time this releases, we will be on the verge of the inauguration. It's going to release 2 days before the inauguration of President-elect Joe Biden, so we wanted to do something fun around that idea and not just sit here for an hour bashing the current incumbent. For that, check out like literally 67% of political podcasts.
Oh yeah, no doubt. It's getting a little old. Plus, all these guys are dead, and they can't wield the long dick of the law to come after you.
Yeah,
and
well,
I. So
one person we talk about is not going to be dead because we will be doing a slight roast on Joe Biden at the end.
Gotta include.
the new incoming president here. He's the only one that's alive. You know, how alive he is debatable, but we'll get to that when we get to it.
Fucking Sleepy Joe! That is one of the best nicknames of all time. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, it's solid. And it fits.
It's solid. It's solid, Nick.
We don't want to be too harsh on Joe. We got a lot to look forward to with him.
Calvin, this is a roast. Gotta leave that shit at the door. Just let it flow through you. We have to roast these men.
All right, Palpatine. So
I would do the voice.
We tried to pick a president in the 0 through 10 range, 10 through 20, 20 through 30, and 30 through 40, and then obviously 46 at the end. So we're getting all the, not really decades, but different
generations
of presidents. There we go. So my first president that I picked is our country's eighth president, Martin Van Buren. He was the president from 1837 to 1841. Among his accomplishments, he founded the Democratic Party, which is interesting.
Get the fuck out of here.
Well, it was kind of like a break off. He kind of destroyed the Democratic Republican Party and built it into his own image, right?
It's like, I'm gonna crash this car and build a motorcycle.
Him and Andrew
parts.
Jackson together. Yeah, basically that's what they did. They took what was left over and were like, no, this is a new thing now. We're not that other thing.
And you can't have it. It's mine.
I don't know if this is an accomplishment, but it's definitely something that happened. He presided over the Panic of 1837, which is not a great thing to be tied to, I don't think.
As I laugh about it.
Yeah. That's rough. This was In May of 1837, state banks in New York refused to convert paper money to gold or silver because their hard currency reserves were low, so several financial institutions around the nation did the same thing. This led to a five-year economic depression in which banks failed and unemployment reached record highs. But luckily for Martin Van Buren, my boy, we've now had three much worse depressions, so no one ever talks about the Panic of 1837. Congrats.
No, hence MVP. The laughter.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you're cute. Panic? Get out of town.
We've had a great depression, a great recession, and whatever the hell we're in the middle of right now. So take
literally,
that,
like my
MVP.
Whole life.
Yeah. Well, I don't think you were alive during the Great Depression.
Well, I mean, yeah. I don't know. Was I?
I don't know. He's the only president whose first language wasn't English. His first language was Dutch.
No something. Shit.
Yeah. It's interesting.
Why was it Dutch?
I read about it, but I don't fucking remember. His parents were Dutch immigrants or something like that.
It's probably something like he learned
his
it to
father,
impress
Abraham, well, no, his native language was Dutch.
Yeah.
So he couldn't have learned it.
Well, he's such a manimal that he was into chicks in his homeland of America.
His father, Abraham Van Buren, was a descendant of Cornelius Mason, a native of Bermelsen, Netherlands, who had emigrated to New Netherland in 1631 and purchased a plot of land on Manhattan Island. So there you go. His grandfather was from the Netherlands, and the Dutch just got passed down for two generations, apparently.
I like my story better.
Yeah. Trying to bone a chick straight out of the womb.
Hey, I said he was five. He's a fucking early riser.
Here's another great thing he did. Great in heavy quotations here. He attempted to restore the two-party system with the Federalists and the Democratic Republicans. That was with the help of Andrew Jackson as well. Van Buren believed that these national parties helped ensure that elections were decided on a national rather than sectional or local issues. As he put it, party attachment in former times furnished a complete antidote for sectional prejudices. And now we just have a mess. So thank you, Martin Van Buren. Great
yeah,
job.
Thanks, Martin. Marty.
Marty VB.
Marty Van Butts.
The election of 1836 helped establish the second party system. By the end of the election cycle, almost all political factions have been absorbed by the Democratic and the Whig parties. He was pushed into the presidency by Andrew Jackson because Andrew Jackson basically just wanted to continue controlling things, so he needed a puppet. And here comes the old sly fox, as they call him, Martin Van Buren.
As one does. That is politics, you know? You gotta have your puppets. And your fucking do-gooders and your fall guys.
Yeah, and Martin Van Buren was a perfect example of that. During the election cycle, the Whig Party attempted to negatively frame Van Buren as an abolitionist to try and sway votes on the South.
What?
So it was a bad thing to be an abolitionist.
Oh my God. Like, it's a bad thing to be anti-fascist? Oh my God.
It's 1837. So Civil War hadn't happened yet. I just thought that was interesting. But in actuality, our good friend Marty here, he opposed abolitionists and made promises to keep slavery in states where it already existed to secure Southern votes. So he was just like, yeah, whatever you guys want, I'm there for it.
I'm a lying piece of shit. How about that?
He thought slavery was immoral, but it was sanctioned by the Constitution. So that's where he stood. It's like, yeah, you guys can do this, but you should. But I don't care.
But I mean, the Constitution says, guys, I live and die by it.
Yeah. He's got some more low lights here. He presided over the Trail of Tears, which, if you remember your American history, that is the Native American relocation in the 1830s. He apparently had reached 19 treaties with Indian tribes. In 1838, he ordered the forcible removal of all the tribes who had not yet complied, moved them all to Oklahoma. And that's where you get your Trail of Tears. The Cherokee were herded violently into internment camps when the relocation was stalled by intense heat and drought. And the government was supposed to supply wagons, rations, medical doctors, just nothing.
Oh, of course.
20,000 people were relocated against their will, and many died.
That is fucking terrible.
Yes. Martin Van Buren, great president. He couldn't quite complete the annexation of Texas. Or actually, sorry. He didn't try to because he wanted to avoid a war with Mexico and didn't want to deal with any slavery tensions that would arise by annexing Texas. Would it be in the South? Would it be non-slave holding? All that stuff. He just didn't want to deal with it, so he just didn't fucking do it.
That, as one also does.
Right, yeah. He opposed the Americans' involvement in Canada's revolution against the British, so he didn't want anything to do with that either, and anyone he caught helping the Canadians got arrested or, you know, whatever the fuck they did back in the 1830s. Burned at the stake like they were a witch.
Yeah, I mean, it's only tight when we do it. Fuck Canada, they can't do it.
So it wasn't that Canada can't do it, he just didn't want to be involved in it.
That's a running theme
with my boy Marty Van B, is he just didn't want to do anything. Anything that may have resulted in a war, he's just like, nah, fuck it, I'm good. And pretty much in the 1830s, pretty much anything you said or did could potentially result in a war.
It's like, what do you think of this, Martin?
Not my man, the Sly Fox. He was not full of anything. He was just there. Good for him.
Just fucking use that. He's like that one politician from Parks and Rec that's like a robot. He's just like, with the great smile. You know which one I'm talking about? I think it's in the 5th season.
Yeah, I can see. Oh, yeah. That Ben goes and works for his campaign. I could see it in my head, but I couldn't place him in the actual Parks and Rec office. So I'm like, wait, who was that? And I'm like, that's right. It wasn't there. It was when Ben went and worked in Washington. I get it.
That's fucking Marty.
That's Marty Van Buren. Yep. Hello. Yes, I can do that. Is it going to cause war? No? All right. Yeah, we can do it. Oh, it will cause war. Yeah. No, never mind. We're not going to do that. Great. That's Martin Van Buren, right?
Beautiful day outside. No war.
Van Buren viewed abolitionism as the greatest threat to national unity.
The fuck is wrong with this guy? Are you serious?
Yes, he resisted even the slightest interferences with slavery in the U.S. He also presided over the Amistad case, which there's a movie called Amistad with Morgan Freeman and a bunch of other great actors. Yeah, that this is all based on. But basically, there was a revolt on a Spanish schooner. That's a type of naval ship named La Amistad. It was a slave ship. Slaves revolted, took over the ship. I believe landed somewhere in the United States. Spain wanted their slaves back. They wanted all those guys back. U.S. Federal District Court ruled that they are now free men and could just return home, which, I mean, I don't know that they have. How the hell are they going to get back to Africa or wherever they came from? I'm confused there, but, you know, that's fine. I got to watch Amistad, apparently.
You steal like, another schooner.
Yeah, it's like 2 hours and 40 minutes long.
Jesus.
Long movie. Yeah, it's been on my list for a long time. I'm just like, I can't. It's too much to watch, like, a slave movie for that long. Slave movies are rough.
They so are, man. That's why they show everyone Roots in fucking middle school. Yeah. They're like, yeah, I mean, they can fuck you
Roots
guys
is
up.
Really good too.
So is Glory.
It's really good and really interesting. It's just very hard to watch because it's just brutal throughout the 12 Years a Slave. Same thing. It's just
I've never watched it, and I don't know if I will.
It's pretty good.
I've heard that, but I've just heard some horrible shit that's done and said in that movie. It's like, man, I don't want to watch that.
Yeah, it's a rough watch. So the federal district court ruled that they're free men. Van Buren steps in. He appeals the case all the way to the Supreme Court because he agreed that they should still belong to Spain. I guess he probably didn't want to go to war with Spain over these slaves.
He's like, nah, dog. I mean, these people's sovereignty?
That's not important. They're not people.
Yeah, no.
So he loses in the Supreme Court to one John Quincy Adams coming out of retirement to represent the slaves. And they were deemed free and allowed to return home. The Amistad case drew attention to the personal tragedies of slavery and attracted new support for the growing abolition movement in the North. It also transformed the courts into the principal forum for the national debate on the legal foundations of slavery. So he accomplished something. He got slavery cases escalated basically to Supreme Court level just because he's a dumbass and thought that these people should be people.
Because he thought he was fucking right, and it turns out he's just a dick.
Well, no, he just didn't want to go to war with Spain. He didn't care about the people.
Let's be real. Yeah, fuck. I mean, I'm putting too much emotion into this.
I'm telling you, I read through this whole Wikipedia page. Anything that came across his death that there was half a thought that it could lead to war, he was like, nah. Whatever we can do to avoid war, I'm out of it.
It's like, hey, Marty, nah. Well, I mean, I just got nah. I mean, seriously, will you listen?
Who are
you
going to piss off with that?
Just
somebody going to try and go to war with us? I don't want to do it. Nope.
I doth declare to get you... I fucking lost it. I can't...
Yeah,
I'm sure they didn't talk like that.
I didn't
that.
Know where that was going.
They were well, I was going to say, in old English, get the fuck out of my office with that bullshit war stuff. I don't want any of that. No, I've never been in a fight. Why do you ask?
Boom. Roasted. He ran for re-election in 1840, 1844, and 1848. Lost all three. They weren't particularly close either.
This dude is a fucking bum.
Yeah.
He's a fucking whack bum. I wonder how old John Quincy Adams was to come out of retirement and still wipe the floor with this motherfucker.
Well, so he was our second president, right, in
this guy's the
1780s.
Ninth.
So that's like 80 years later he's doing this shit.
He was old as fuck. So, I mean, This guy is probably like going through all kinds of gout and renal failure and all
it
this stuff.
It was John Quincy Adams Jr. or something, and I just missed that. But, yeah, it made a specific point of saying John Quincy Adams.
Yeah,
I don't want to scroll through the whole thing to find him again, but...
I don't think he had a John Quincy Adams Jr.
I don't know.
I think John Adams was the junior.
Potentially. I didn't study him for this. I studied Martin Van Buren.
Jesus.
In 1848, in that election, he switched sides by running an anti-slavery campaign. Now he's all for letting people be people. So, way to go.
He's like, sweet. Yeah. This is what they like? All right.
So, here you go. Received no electoral votes in 1848, but 10.1% of the popular vote, which was the largest margin by a third-party candidate up to that point. So, he was a third party in 1848 and just got no electoral vote. And that's when there were like 17 electoral votes for real.
Everyone's just like, hey, Marty.
Nah.
He's like, dang it, you know, I don't want to go to war with you guys about this, but seriously.
He was by far the best of all the worst losers. So, good job, Marty Van.
I wonder what it says on his headstone. It's like, literally lost at fucking everything, Martin Van Buren. Marty VB.
But a lot of times he didn't even try.
A lot of times he didn't even try.
That's why he didn't. You know, if he tried, he would lose.
If he doesn't have, like, a Nerf basketball hoop on the back of his headstone, I don't even know.
So you get dunked on.
You're right. I don't even know if I can do this anymore.
Oh, wait till we get to my next pick, because he may have been a bigger loser than my boy MVB here.
Dude, I think I might have you beat.
Oh, we're going to see. But most importantly for Van Buren, was that he had a New York City street gang named after him whose secret sign was eight fingers because he was the eighth president. The Van Buren Boys.
That is dumb as fuck. The Van
Buren
Boys.
It's not a real
Boys.
Thing, Nick. And listeners who haven't seen Seinfeld, it's most likely not a real thing. There was an episode of Seinfeld that Kramer and George both got into some trouble with the Van Buren Boys. And Kramer got out of it because he was holding the salt shaker in one hand, and he had up eight fingers, so they thought he was a former member, but George couldn't get out of it. He had some issues with the Van Buren Boys.
Did they, you know, ask him to fist fight, and then when he was like, okay, they were like, nah, man, I don't do that thing.
I mean, all right, I'll explain it. So George he's in charge of this foundation. He has to give someone a scholarship, and he meets this kid. And he's like a regular kid instead of like one of these smarty pants kids that he's been interviewing all day. And he's like, I'm going to give it to him because he claims to want to be an architect, which is something George always pretended to want to be. And then he changes his mind and decides he wants to be a city planner. And so George takes a scholarship away from him. And so this kid, Stephen Corin, he goes and joins the Van Buren Boys. And then they try and shake George down because George took the scholarship away. And they want him to give the scholarship back.
We're going to shake you down, the Van Buren Boys.
And they ask George tries to say he was a former member, and they don't believe him, so they ask him for the secret sign, and he can't figure it out, and he does, like, this weird thing, and then they ask him to mug somebody, and he can't mug anybody. It's a whole thing. Eventually, Jerry's parents walk by, and he tries to, like, talk them into pretending to be mugged, and it doesn't work out.
No shit. I kind of got to look
this up
now.
They're just like, get away from us, George. So it all comes back to Seinfeld. That's why I had to choose Martin Van Buren, just so he could go to the Van Buren Boys. And more notably, I'm looking at his picture now. He probably should have been called Martin Van Sideburns. Like, this dude has the baddest ass sideburns I've ever seen. They're just all over the place. And he lost his re-election to the Whig Party nominee, William Henry Harrison, who we're going to talk about soon, I think. And I just got to say, how do you lose an election to someone whose entire platform is based on fake hair? These Whig Party guys, that's all they care about. Van Buren's a bald guy, standing up tall for his bald justices, and just as His disdain for the Whig Party is so strong that he grows as much hair as possible all over his head, other than on the top, to be like, I don't need a fucking wig. Look at this shit on the side of my head.
You see this shit? It's like a broom. I could fucking clean houses.
I don't need your wigs.
Well, fuck, dude. That's why, you know, the next guy, Harry Harrison, he's just thrown in Van Buren's face. He's like, you like them apples, bitch? There is a... I'm looking at a photo of Martin Van Buren as a younger man, and he's a redhead, and that makes so much sense. He looks like he's 12, and he's bald.
Oh, yeah.
He's already
he's still
bald.
Got the burn. He's still got the sideburns, though.
But he's already bald. He looks fucking 12.
He's a very creepy look, too.
He literally looks like fucking Hannibal Lecter. He's like,
yeah.
I'm five of being... But don't try to go to war with me.
Yeah, no. If you're going to fight back, then just go.
Yeah, seriously.
I don't need to eat your face that badly.
I don't even want it anymore.
Also, nicknamed Little Van, he just seemed like the biggest wimp ever. Like, that's what it felt like to me as I'm reading through this. Just like I said, anything on the table that may have led to war, he'd just do nothing. Or he'd wait it out, try and figure out a way to work it out that didn't involve war, which, like, I guess that's a good thing. You want to use diplomatic relations, but it seemed like every decision he made was just like, well, if we do that, it might cause a war, so I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, no, fuck
not
that.
Even like, it definitely will cause a war, so I'm not gonna do it. It's like, well, that might piss somebody off, so I don't we don't want to make anything mad, everyone mad. And the other thing, he did a lot to appease the slaveholders who helped elect him in his first election, so he kind of had these blinders on to the growing and progressive movement of abolitionism, because he didn't want to piss them off either. So he doesn't want to go to war with anyone, and he doesn't want to piss off the slaveholders. It just sounds really, really familiar, kind of like, you know, might even be recent going on.
Yeah, some more pussy stuff.
Let's have some blinders on to anything progressive, because that's stupid.
Because change is scary. And he felt the same way. And you know, back at that time, if people called you Little Van, you fucking had duels over that shit.
What, I mean, my man was 5'6", so he was little.
Damn. Well, I mean, at least he's harder to shoot. There's that. That could have been like his calling card, his fucking saving grace is he's a mad duelist with Yu-Gi-Oh cards.
There we go.
You want a duel, bro? Little Marty VB.
That's Marty VB in a nutshell.
Martin Van Buren.
I think he would fit in a nutshell. Little Van.
Well, this guy, I don't know. I can't really say much else about this guy, but he's just kind of a fucking dweeb.
Yeah.
It's like,
no,
you poor bastard.
It's hard to roast somebody this pathetic.
Well, fuck, how do you inspire the population as this little 5'6" hobbit man who is bald, has the most wicked sideburns, but, you know, at the time, I want to say he was starting to get that in vogue. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if Marty VB actually started sideburns, which fuck him for that, because sideburns
are fucking
dumb.
Nah, I'm looking at John Quincy
Adams
right now, and he's got some mad sideburns going on.
Maybe. Well, I mean, he got torn to shreds by that dude in the fucking court. He's like, all right.
So that's why I looked at him. He would have been 70-ish years old at the time of that, the Amistad case.
That is old as fuck. Oh, yeah. My God.
Especially in the 1800s.
Jesus Christ. I mean, that's probably like talking to Ozzy Osbourne, and he's still fucking lost to that guy.
Yeah, it's like losing a court case to Ozzy Osbourne.
Or losing a court case to Sly Stallone after Expendables 5. He's like, you know what, John Quincy? You're fucking right, my man.
Who we got next, Nick?
We got this fucking punk bastard, William Henry Harrison, who just, you know, not vibing with him. He was the 9th president overall, and he surprisingly had it pretty much laid out for him that he was going to be a president in some regard. He's the son of a founding father. At the time in the 18, you know, early 1800s or right around the turn of that time frame, whatever. His claim to fame was mostly as a military commander, and he was part of the Tecumseh Confederacy Battle of Tippecanoe, which kind of got him his nickname of Old Tippecanoe, which is like one of the shittiest streets in the town I live in, and it sums up this fucking douchebag pretty perfectly.
He's definitely old. He's almost 70 at the time of his presidency.
He's like 68. Yeah. He was nice minus one. But, you know, that's where the old phrase Tippecanoe and Tyler too, if I learned anything in school, it was that phrase. I still remember that shit. And as a major general in the army of the during the War of 1812, he led a contingent of infantry and cavalry during the Battle of the Thames in Canada. So Canada, once again, being involved in the early, you know, early doings of presidents.
Yeah, I mean, whoever was the president in 1812 actually let him fight in Canada. That was nice.
Yeah, he's like, you know,
my boy Marty Van Bee, he didn't want anything to do with Canada.
He's like, I ain't fucking
with
that.
Fuck those Canadians.
It's cold as shit up there. Listen, man, I'm not doing it. Which, obviously, is... That kind of catapulted this douchebag. I mean, military service at that time was absolutely, like, everything.
It showed you had leadership skills.
Yeah, if you could lead men
people
to
liked that.
Kill, you know, pretty innocent people for the most part.
Those damn redcoats.
Yes. Well, I mean, that's... There's a lot of Indians there. That's what really he was known for is, like, I don't know, just targeting Indian folks, being extremely aggressive and terrible. He was actually assigned by the president at the time, John Adams, to be the governor of the new Indiana Territory. So, this guy is quite similar to a former governor of Indiana. Your boy.
Bobby Knight.
Bobby Knight! You knew it. I meant the fly on the wall that sees everything. And by wall, I mean very stiff hairsprayed hair. And, he proceeded to be elected to the House in 1816 and then the Senate, and he ran for president in 1836 and lost to Marty VB. Lost to Marty VB. How fucking shitty do you have to be to lose to Marty Van Sideburn?
Does William Henry Harrison have any street gangs named after him? I don't think so.
Well, I mean, he has the sickest phrase in the entirety of the whole world, Tippecanoe and Tyler too. I mean, that's snazzy. At the time, that'd probably get bras thrown at you. It's like, yeah, I mean, guy.
That's probably what killed him.
Braziers. Just look at all these tits. Oh, my God.
Somebody just flashed him and he just dropped dead.
That just reminds me of, like, a Family Guy skit or some shit.
Yeah.
Boom. Hits the ground hard as shit. No, he died in a way worse way. So, he didn't really accomplish much, like, really much at all. The only thing he did was kind of change how people received their positions in Washington or, you know, wherever he governed from at the time. He, instead of, you know, people who just gave him a shitload of money and he'd be like, all right, here's a cabinet position, they'd have to give him a shitload of money and be his friend.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I mean, that's a tough bargain.
So I've got coming up the reversal of that reversal in with my next guy.
Double reverse, the mythological beast. Uh-oh. So he kind of changed the game in regards to politicians getting endorsements at the time, but he kind of stuck to, you know, relatively, if they were qualified, they kind of got the job. So he had that... Well, I didn't say that phrase exactly, that they should burn down the Capitol, so I'm totally innocent.
Yeah.
You know, of course. You know what I mean. But this guy's major mistake really kind of just undoes even the tiny amount that he did. And he tried to, you know, bring the big dick energy, and he failed. He did not do well. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to tell you all about it.
All that big dick energy got that lady to flash him, and then he dropped dead.
He's like, hey, show me your tits. And she's like, alright, cool. And then he fucking died from
it. It's my William Henry Harrison death voice.
You gotta throw a fart in there at the tail. There you go. We're fucking making history right now. we're going to get a letter from someone that's like, you dick, he was my great-great-uncle, and I'm offended. So,
still representing the Whig Party to this day.
Straight up, William Henry Harrison for life. And then I'm going to text you and just say, see, I told you you had a gang. So this guy had the bright idea. He kind of developed a caricature around him of being a backwoods redneck idiot. So not too popular. So he wanted to come out and display that he was really something special. He decided that it would be super tight for his inauguration in Washington, D.C., which is pretty far north. If you've ever been there, it gets cold. On a nice rainy day, he wore no coat, no hat, no gloves, gave the longest speech.
What a badass.
I mean, total badass. He's like, I'm gonna teach everyone and talk forever about nothing. And yeah, 90 minutes. It was like almost 9,000 words, which was, you know, people at the time were like, oh my God, this guy's a fucking genius.
You know, he just died naked. I mean, that would have really shown him.
You know? Instead, he died. It's debated. No! It's debated whether, you know, it was the weather or the fact that he drank shitty sewage runoff living at the White House, because apparently it was kind of like a thing
the
there.
Fans at the inauguration flashing him.
Just, I mean, he's getting rapid fire titties and he's like, fuck.
Yeah. Just kind of,
my Christian disposition cannot take this.
He's an old dude, is what we're saying.
I mean, he was, what, 68? He was old.
69 when he died, I think it said.
Nice. He was in office for 33 days. 33. By far, the lowest amount of any president ever.
He was probably never actually in office because it took so long to travel.
I mean, he fucking died there. So there's that. He probably haunts the shit out of that.
Well, he died at the inauguration.
No, he died 33 days after the inauguration.
Oh, okay. I see. I'm seeing the timeline now. So he spent all of his days as president on his
basically
deathbed.
So what happened is he gave this speech, and then he developed a, you know, cold and flu-like symptoms, and then it just, he kind of went into fucking free fall, and on the 33rd day, he died. And what's debated is where they received most of their groundwater and stuff like that for water at the White House was contaminated with feces and urine and all the other nasty shit that humanity produces. And he was drinking it all up, buddy. He was like, this shit is dynamite. So there's that. I mean, 33 days, that's it. Fucking either a cold took him or shit water. Pick your poison.
I'm reading through his Wikipedia a little as you're going through it. Apparently the Whigs during the election of 1840 had nicknamed Van Buren Van Ruin, which, all right, that's good. That's fair.
Little Van Ruin. That's a sweet metal band.
Yeah, that's pretty good. The Democrats, in turn, called Harrison Granny Harrison, the petticoat general, which, that's a sick burn.
Yeah, you got a duel over
Granny
that
Harrison,
shit.
Granny Harrison,
if anything.
Like,
Granny on. Harrison?
Van Buren never would have said that, because Harrison might have wanted to go to war with him. We can't have that.
Seriously. I mean, Harrison is the sickest dog on the face of the earth, literally, for 33 days. So, I gotta say, what was weird, and I find it interesting, after this fucking idiot died, because he was trying to be hard, and everyone knows that one kid in school,
won't wear a jacket.
Right. His name was Tori. Shout out Tori.
Fuck you, Tori.
You were an idiot. But he would walk around like sub-zero temperatures in fucking shorts, and which his legs are blue, and he's like, yeah, I don't feel it. It's great. It feels so good. It's like, dude.
So I went to elementary school here in Florida, and we would always kind of challenge each other who could go the longest into winter without wearing shorts or without having to wear pants. Like,
it's like
long
50
pants.
Outside.
Yeah, when it get the coldest it is 50. My daughter doesn't like, she doesn't ever like to wear long pants. She'll always go in these little skirts or whatever. But yeah, I get it coming from here, but up there, no.
Yeah, I mean, there were days where it's like minus 20. We're walking home from school and it's snowing, and he's just like, yeah.
But then how would people know you're a badass?
I don't know. He wore pink shoes a lot, too. He's like, yeah, they're on sale. It's like, fuck you, Tory.
He's gonna own that shit.
Yeah, pretty much. He was a fucking goob, and his parents were swingers. So nice. He had a lot going on.
That is a lot. You know, we're gonna let the short slide now. Tory seems like he needs some help.
No, he's all right. He's doing well. I think he works for Apple or some shit.
Nice.
Yeah. Sweating his dick off in California. He's like, guys, this sucks out here. It's not even fucking cold a little bit.
They make me wear pants all the time.
This is bullshit. And he's like, you know, I talked to the head honcho. I talked to Mr. Cook. You know, he said I could cut off all my jeans and make them jorts.
So how did we get to roasting some random dude named Tory?
Because he's in
the roast of William Henry Harrison here.
We're roasting a generation. Well, it's, I guess it's generational of men who just really try
don't
with their big.
Pants.
You know, it doesn't work. You're just hitting me with this little dick energy, and it sucks. It just sucks so much.
It works up until the point you fall ill with pneumonia and are on your deathbed for 33 days, and eventually die. Being
or you
the least accomplished president ever, because
seriously,
you couldn't do anything.
You literally could not do anything. And afterwards, there was a constitutional crisis. So it called attention to ambiguity in Article 2, Section 1, Clause 6 of the Constitution regarding succession to the presidency. It clearly states, provided for the vice president to take over the powers and duties of the presidency in the event of the president's removal, death by shit water and or pneumonia, resignation or inability because he's dying, but it was unclear whether the vice president formally became president of the United States or simply a tote.
Well, don't worry, because that never fully got worked out.
It did, actually. And here's how. Because
it did,
Tyler...
It did.
No, it did. Because Tippy Canoe...
Just wait till I get to my guy, Nick.
Well, wait
till... Didn't.
Let me finish the sentence.
Fine. What does John Tyler have to say?
Said everyone else was liars. And he's like, yeah, no, I'm super the president, and I'm not...
That's one way to do it.
Therefore, I am.
And because I'm the president, and I said I'm the president, ipso facto, I am the president. All right, so I get where John Tyler's coming from, but I'm telling you that the trickle-down of that did not... I guess they didn't write it down well enough after this fiasco. Because it comes back to haunt you later.
Comes back to haunt you. But you know what haunts me the most, Calvin?
This ghoul-like face?
His ghoul-like face. This fucking guy has the skinniest face I've ever seen.
I'm going to dream about this face tonight.
He looks like the guy...
And not in a good way.
No, dude. He looks like the congressman from the first X-Men who slides through goddamn bars in a prison. I don't like to typically make fun of people's noses, and... Surprisingly, in all these
portraits... It literally
looks
like it's dripping off his face.
It looks like it would have icicles hanging from it in a storm. Like, you would hide under it in case of a meteor shower. And it's been broken at least twice. And at the same time, I feel like it's just an extension. This gentleman, he has short hair that looks like grease slick to the top of his head with Vegeta-size widow's peak. It's basically, if you don't know Vegeta, it's Dragon Ball Z, and he has the most wicked...
I know who that is.
Right.
Now.
You know the most wicked Widow's Peak on Earth. This guy is probably what inspired Akira Toriyama to create that. He looks like a fucking idiot. His eyebrows are touching, and it basically just runs into his goddamn nose, which is literally the biggest nose I've ever seen on a human being. There's a side portrait of him... And this shit sticks out farther than his chest. This man had...
He's got a little bit of Saul Goodman look to him in his younger days.
He looks like Napoleon Bonaparte got stretched on the rack.
But just his face.
But honestly, how the fuck did this guy get anyone to marry him? I don't understand. He's like Frankenstein's albino cousin.
Money.
Money is a good one.
Every man got married because they had money back then.
Pretty much. It's like that kid in college who is, you know, gets the chick that's way out of his league. And then you're at a, you know, a party with everyone and he busts out the cocaine and you're like, yep, now I know why. That's Martin. That's not Martin. William Henry Harrison in a nutshell.
Talking about Tory again here?
No, I'm not actually.
You're back on him.
He was handsome.
Also had a cocaine problem, apparently.
He's addicted to
I'm sorry, now we're just defaming this Tory fellow for no reason. I don't know if you have a cocaine problem, and I'm sorry you do. If you do.
So this William Henry Harrison guy, there's a picture of him and Donald Trump next to each other and like a million check marks on it, or tally marks. And at the same time, I see, guys, if follow along with us, Google these people and go to image search, there's one of him. This motherfucker had a bun, like a full-blown bun.
Oh, I'm good with the man bun.
No, it's not a man bun. It's like a bun that takes up the entirety of the back of his head. It's like a Daenerys Targaryen braid. I bet he had significantly better acting, though.
It would be hard not to.
It's like, I duck. We'll kill
his
everyone.
His face is already dripping with emotion.
I love that analogy. He's just, it's dripping.
It's just dripping, yeah. Oh, yeah, I see. There's the braid.
See what I'm saying?
I might grow one of those. I kind of like it.
Don't you fucking dare, Calvin. Don't you do it.
Are we done with Sir William Henry Harrison?
We're done. Fuck that, Jabari. All right.
So we're moving into the 20s. We got president number 21, Chester A. Arthur.
Chester the molester A. Arthur.
Not a molester that we know of. Just going to put that out there before we get a defamation lawsuit from the Arthur Foundation. His presidency ran from 1881 to 1885. I just kind of randomly chose two single-term presidents. Like, I knew I was going to do Van Buren because of the Van Buren boys from Seinfeld. And then I was just looking through the 20s, and I'm like, Chester. He seems like a guy we can make fun of. And turns out, we can't.
Yeah.
Don't worry about
Easy
that.
Easy target, Chester. So, to all you listeners, don't name your kids that. Just a fair
fucking
warning.
Chester. How do we ever elect a guy named Chester?
I don't know. We elected a lot of weird fucking idiots.
So he was a Civil War vet, which is nice. He enforced the Pendleton Civil Service Reform Act. So this is what double reversed your reversal from your last guy here, the Pendleton Civil Service Reform Act mandates that most positions within the federal government should be awarded on the basis of merit instead of political patronage. Which, again, now has been triple reversed, and nobody gives a shit anymore.
It's just a free-for-all.
Yeah. Oh, you tweeted something nice about me? Here you go. Here's the cabinet position.
Yeah. Here's a cabinet you're woefully unqualified for.
But this isn't just, like, the cabinet and things like that. This is postal workers, you know, any federal employees, even on local levels. Because apparently there was some corruption going on. The one instance I read of was postal workers. There would be like star postal routes that people would get promoted to based on kissing other people's asses and not because they were good postal workers. So yeah, there was a lot of that.
What the fuck did they gain from being a good postal worker?
And I know Newman was trying really hard to be a good postal worker because he wanted to get transferred to Hawaii. Because that's the mother of all postal routes is Hawaii. But in 1881, that wasn't going on because Hawaii didn't exist. I mean, it existed. It just wasn't American.
Probably kill you if you showed up there. They're like, hey, I'm here to deliver a package.
Chester also presided over the rebirth of the U.S. Navy.
He all four ships?
Well, this is post-Civil War, so they had a lot of these ironclad ships coming on board. There's a lot of stuff going on in the Navy.
Five ships. There was a shitload of stuff going on. I could talk for hours about naval battles in the Civil War.
But that's not what
But
we're
I digress.
For.
Right. He's like, so, let me stop you right there, Nick.
Yeah,
don't
you
fucking dare
you
go down that
start.
Road.
He failed to alleviate the federal budget surplus. And just like, what the fuck is going on in the 1880s? Like, let's get a budget surplus going nowadays. Let's get that money. Go to Burlington Coat Factory. Give us a surplus. Come on.
You can get so much. So you're telling me he failed to eliminate a surplus, so he just didn't spend it? He was like, nah.
Well, they had the surplus left over from the Civil War that nobody since the end of the Civil War had been able to bring down far enough. So they just kept spending and spending. And so another one of his problems is they would – there was like some river reclamation project that was put – over on his desk, right? And he wouldn't sign it because he thought it was too national based. It didn't include enough local help or whatever. So a lot of things, he was another guy, a lot of things came across his desk. He was just like, no, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah. No, I don't think I will.
I'm doing nothing right now, and that seems like I would have to do something, so I'm going to stick here doing nothing.
You see what I'm doing? It's pretty fucking tight.
He signed the Chinese Exclusion Act, which put a 10-year ban on Chinese immigration, which I guess that a lot of the issues during Reconstruction from the Civil War were blamed on Chinese immigrants, so they wanted to crack down on Chinese immigration anyways. The initial bill was for a 20-year ban on Chinese immigration. He vetoed that one, and they came back with a 10-year ban, and that's the one he passed. So
it's like, I'll do half. You know, yeah. You hit me with half, and I'll be...
I don't want to go to war with China.
I just, I'll be xenophobic as fuck. I don't even care. Just, I don't want to go to war.
Made a super weak effort to secure bid for re-election in 1884 due to his poor health, and he just retired at the end of his term. So that was Chester. And like I said, how do we elect a dude named Chester? The truth is, Chester, one of the most cornball-ass names you could ever have.
The most white bread name.
He overcame it somehow. Yeah, he overcame it, became president, but we didn't elect him. He replaced James A. Garfield after Garfield was assassinated 4 months into his term.
Damn, Garfield was on the heels of William Henry Harrison.
Yeah. They don't want any of this Lincoln shit where they're in office for 2 years before they get assassinated. They're like, I'm in, get me now.
Just hit me up. I'm at the club. It's going down. I mean... fuck Chester. Let me just say that right now.
So, my man Chester was only the vice president because Garfield wanted an East Coast stalwart, is what they were called. That was like this, it was basically, you would compare it to a political action committee or a PAC nowadays. That's what they were back then. It was like a faction of the Democratic Party. I think they were Democratic Party, maybe Republican. Yeah, Republican Party, sorry. So the East Coast stalwarts, or the Eastern stalwarts, they were a super powerful faction within the Republican Party. And so the only reason Garfield chose him was so those people would help Garfield out. So they would use their sway to get Garfield elected.
Sounds a little like cheating. Just saying, this cornbread motherfucker.
Somewhat. And, so Garfield was even shot by someone who thought Arthur would then appoint him to a federal position because they had that same stalwart affiliation. But Arthur did not appoint this guy that shot Garfield.
You know, that was a weird conversation before after. He's like, shit, son, I'll shoot that motherfucker right now.
Well, and even up to the point of his trial and everything, he thought he was going to be pardoned because he claimed to be affiliated with the Eastern stalwarts. And Chester's like, nah, I don't fucking know that guy.
Never seen him in my life.
Yep. Not my dude.
Oops, sorry. He's like, hey, are you going to kill him? I'll fucking help you out. I got this sweet pistol.
So Chester A. Arthur didn't do a lot. It's very hard to roast him because he was so nonplussed about everything. But luckily Wikipedia gave me some great roasts from his contemporaries. Because other people were more than happy to shoot shots
at me with these, you know.
So this is from journalist Alexander McClure. No man ever entered the presidency so profoundly and widely distrusted as Chester Allen Arthur, and no one ever retired more generally respected alike by political friend and foe. So everyone hated him when he came in, and then he's respected afterwards because he did fucking nothing. He just rolled with whatever.
A dude with three first names. I don't trust it.
Ricky Bobby, he's got two first names.
I don't trust that shit.
Yeah, three first names is even worse.
Chester, especially Alan, Chester. Arthur.
Never trust a guy named Chester.
I mean, my Stranger Danger alarms are going off right now.
So at his death, the New York World, which is a newspaper of the time, quoted, "No duty was neglected in his administration, and no adventurous project alarmed the nation." He signed papers that were put in front of him, but did nothing else.
Yeah, fuck this guy, is what you're saying. He's like,
and
nah.
In 1935, historian George F. Howe noted that Arthur achieved an obscurity in strange contrast to a significant part in American history.
That could be conceived as a good thing.
I think they're saying just nobody fucking remembers it. I didn't remember him until I read his name on the list of presidents.
Dude, I don't remember three quarters of the presidents. They just, they're...
That's true, too.
Completely oblivious to me.
Also, got some great sideburns going on here, too. And I think in the 1800s, that is what being a president meant, is you had to have the crazy-ass side.
You had to have some kind of dope-ass facial hair. This dude has weak...
Yeah, I mean, that sets you apart from your opponents.
Oh, fuck. This dude's sideburns look like a hippie's pubes. Jesus Christ.
He's on some James Corden shit here. Like, that. He is not...
They're, like, dragging on his shoulders, man. The fuck? What if
I think we need to bring the sideburns back for presidents, to be honest. Let's just make that the presidential thing. And for your 4 to 8 years, you have to try and grow better sideburns than your predecessor. And if at the end of your first 4 years you haven't grown better sideburns, you're out. I don't care.
I mean,
if you have better ones, you got 8 more years to set the record on best sideburns.
You gotta have a weak ass chin too. I mean, I think that's
it. Definitely helps.
That's why they grew sideburns. It's like, damn, son, my chin is weak as fuck. Let me get.
So what? Let's say out of our 5 most recent presidents, who do you think could have grown the best sideburns? I think Obama could have had some dope sideburns going.
No, I don't think...
easy to just say Obama's always going to be the coolest at everything because he's one of the coolest people ever.
Right.
In general.
I think, honestly, I think Bill Clinton would have had the dopest sideburns.
Clinton would have went all out for it. If this was a presidential mandate, yeah. Clinton would have went for it. Clinton has no shame. So, like, he'd have just fucking been there with it. He'd have the Chester A. Arthur mixed with the Van Buren sideburns. All the way up. He'd go, like, into the Ron Howard, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, like, the mayor from that movie. He'd go sideburn. He'd
Ooh,
go the Chester
yes.
A. Arthur sideburn straight into, like, the points up in the middle part. I like that. Clinton's
Let
a good
mean,
pick.
Fuck, back then, apparently, add in all you need is a weak chin and a shit name. And you're fucking
yeah.
in, like, Flynn. A
lot of bad names for the presidency.
Dude, this guy looks like a Balchinian. He is fucking whack.
I think we can agree that George W. Bush would have had the worst sideburns.
I think they would have been all patchy and shit. He'd be like,
yeah,
this is a victory.
He doesn't seem like he'd grow a full beard.
No.
Like,
hell
some people
no.
just can't.
I can't. Dude, I'm 27 years old. I still have patches in my fucking facial hair. It's ridiculous. I can grow a great mustache, but, you know, no one wants to see a pale-ass dude with really dark hair have a mustache. It just looks weird.
Shout out Jay from the VCR Kids.
Jay, my boy. You and me both. Let's have a mustache-growing contest.
Well, I mean, he's already beaten you there because he has one.
I can grow a mustache in, like, 3 days. Like, a wicked good one.
The challenge has been laid down.
The challenge has been laid down. And they were part of the Butterbeer situation, too, right?
Butter? No.
Okay.
That was just... No, that was my my wife's sister was the one that confirmed that.
Okay. Well, I challenge her to a sweet mustache contest.
You win.
Yes!
We also had some Chester A. Arthur birthers at the time. His opponents claimed that he wasn't a U.S. citizen and did not live in the U.S. until he was 14. This would have disqualified him from being vice president if it were true. It wasn't. Record keeping in the 1800s, if you could guess, was pretty fucking bad. And his family moved around a lot, like within Vermont and New York. So he attended a lot of different schools and just shit got lost track. Or at least that's the story the Arthurs are going.
Well, I mean, he's the most underwhelming person I've ever seen. So they're like, yeah.
He's very underwhelming.
It's like, don't you remember me? It's like, no, I don't.
I think the best thing you could say about Chester A. Arthur is that he was efficient at doing his job. He was so great at supplying armies moving through New York during the Civil War that they just kept promoting him and promoting him higher and higher class just because he always kept the deliveries on time. Everybody liked working with him. He was just so great at doing that shit. He was an absolute monster when raising campaign funds for his campaign or other party members. Like before he was running for president, he would help out the party and getting people elected and raising funds. He was also so good at his position in the customs office that he was able to earn a salary higher than the president's, over $50,000, based on commissions that he got off of imports. So at the time, whoever these customs officials were, if they were the one facilitating the import, they got a commission off of that. And he was so good at it, and everybody liked working with him so much that his Normal position paid $6,500 a year. He earned over $50,000 a year doing that job.
Jesus, that does not sound okay. That sounds fucking not good.
He's just efficient, man. People like working with
him. Yeah, he's fingers, you know. He's efficient. Yeah, no.
The worst thing you could say about Chester A. Arthur is also that he was efficient at doing his job. And that seems to be all that there was to him. Just get the job done adequately.
And make a fuckload of money.
Yeah. It's really great for, like, your accountant or if you're supplying the militia in New York. But when you're president, you got to have a little bit more gusto. Mostly just a pencil pusher. If he was told to sign something, he'd sign it, damn it. And he'd do it quicker than any other president.
Unless it was war. He'd be like, nah.
If I was Van Buren, that would avoid war.
Well, I mean, they're all buddies. They have the sideburns.
That's true. Sideburn bros.
For life.
But if something like really needed to happen, he wasn't going to be the one to do it. Like, he's not the guy you call in an emergency.
Most of these guys aren't. Most of them are just fucking weak-chinned bitches.
All right, let's go to your last. Unless you got something else on my man Chester.
I don't, other than fuck him.
And fuck Chester's all over the world.
Yeah.
If you're Chester and you're listening to this, unsubscribe until you change your name.
Why would you go through your life introducing yourself as Chester? Because my first reaction, which is, yeah, surprisingly so. Yeah, he had at least political experience. He really just groveled a lot and sucked mad amounts of dick, and he made it to the top. He was a war vet. So this guy,
Richard Nixon.
You know, he had a deferment because he was a birthright Quaker, so religious exemption. But he volunteered for the Navy and basically just dealt with logistics.
Hey, look at that.
So he took the easiest route he possibly could. Like, this dude did nothing when he was overseas, but he still went overseas so he could claim war veteran status. He was elected as a congressman in California's 12th district after his opponent couldn't be defeated because of all the infighting within his party. So a group of 100 Republicans got together and elected this bitch-ass motherfucker because he was handsome and a good speaker. That's pretty much what it came down to. And he fucking hated communism.
I mean, that's what
he's
you
like,
need
to know,
in the
America's
60s.
Awesome, but communism, dude, oh, he was like the king of, you know, working up the anti-communism fervor. He'd drop it all the time. So in 49... he begins to consider running for Senate as against the Democrat incumbent, enters the race, and basically just has the shittiest primary battle of his life. But he sent out this little thing, and it was called a pink sheet, and it was distributed by his campaign suggesting that the guy he was running against's voting record was similar to that of a New York congressman who many believe to be communist.
Those damn commies.
So, oh, those commies, those sons of bitches. So Nixon, of course, won in a landslide by nearly 20 percentage points, but this is where his stupid fucking nickname comes into play. He was known as Tricky Dick, which just makes me think of STDs. I don't know why. It's a tricky dick.
He had tricky dick in instead of big dick in.
He's got that, yeah, tricky dick energy. And eventually he became Eisenhower's vice president, mostly because he was young, like really hated communism, and that was Republican hailing from there. Surprisingly, this dude actually accomplished a decent amount of stuff that we appreciate today. He created the EPA. He signed Title IX banning gender-based discrimination in education.
These are all good things, Nick.
These are all good things, but I'll get to the punchline. He desegregated schools peacefully, lowered the age of voting to 18, but he had this one major mistake, and it was like a hinge point for this man.
You kind of missed something here.
No, we're not there yet.
Presided over the moon landing.
Well, I wasn't there yet.
Oh. Well, you were going to his shitty things. I thought you were doing all his good things for.
Oh, no. This is in the heat of the moment.
Ah. All right. Sorry.
Anyway, he presided over the moon landing.
He didn't preside. I didn't say that. Everybody forget I said that.
No, he presided over. He did. everyone, but he made a major fucking mistake that really came back to bite him in the ass. So Lyndon Baines Johnson, who really did have big dick energy, that guy, something else. He would just like
walk around with it flopped out too, from what I
heard. I mean, he literally would insert into every sentence, like Nixon does with communism, how big his dick is, which just is not okay.
He got it, flaunt it, Nick.
I mean, you gotta flaunt it, like fucking hating communism. I hate it, Calvin. I hate it. So this guy, Johnson, was, you know, bringing the Vietnam War to a close. He was bringing peace talks to the forefront, and Nixon basically went to the opposition and said, hold out for a better deal, which never came, because he wanted to be the one that ended the Vietnam War. And it basically was viewed as such at the time period. But because of this fucking guy, 20,000 Americans died, as well as a million Vietnamese people, because he stretched out the war. And he also called Kent State, you know, the students there, I'm sure you know of it. Everyone knows of the students at Kent State. He called them bums for protesting the Vietnam War, called them goddamn communists. And then it really started going.
He called everyone communists.
He literally did. He called his wife a communist. He's like, bitch, this fucking one-ply toilet paper is awfully communist. You better give me the good shit, or else I'll give you to the communist Gestapo. But everyone knows Nixon was involved in the Watergate scandal. He was the first and only president to resign because people from his party broke into the DNC's, you know, offices to install wiretapping devices and basically help rig an election. And while he did not order it, he knew all about it and was completely complicit in it. And this man just went off the goddamn rails. He went insane with his anti-communist and paranoid bullshit. Fucking insane.
But he presided over the moon landing, Nick.
It's fake, Calvin. It's fake.
Well, that's true. He helped Stanley Kubrick record the moon landing.
He did. He's like, Stanley, are you a commie? And he, you know, Stanley was like, nah, fam, I'm not a fucking commie. And he's like, all right, cool.
Buzz Aldrin, so I got this job. Doesn't exist. That was just Nixon in a spacesuit. We all know it.
It was Tricky Dick in a spacesuit. There you go. I mean, Illuminati.
Except we probably just started like a real conspiracy theory here.
Or did we?
People I hope grab so. Onto weird shit all the time.
I really do hope so. If that's
you heard you it know. Here first, Buzz Aldrin doesn't exist. Richard Nixon was actually the one in the spacesuit,
and he didn't land on the moon. The old Tricky Dick, no. And that's why he got the nickname, because they planned it way back when.
Because everybody was a communist.
I mean, everyone.
Be a communist and land on the moon.
How do you call college students that got shot up? Fucking yeah, but you know, fuck them. They were communists.
I mean, have you seen the rhetoric around the Black Lives Matter movement from conservatives? No?
You know?
Kind of same energy going on there, don't you think?
You make a super fair point there, Calvin.
It's more, these people are doing something I don't like, so I'm going to call them a word that other people don't like. So that way, people who don't really want to read the full article get scared. That's what happened.
Yeah, and if you look at this man's picture, when he was a young man, he was actually strikingly handsome. But then he hit like a, but I mean, the man photographs well in black and white. What can I say? but then he hit like a time period in his late 40s, early 50s, where he just began to look like a Chucky doll brought to life. He looks plastic, and his smile.
He could have used some sideburns, I think, to take away from like his weird hairstyle that he's got.
I mean,
going
the
on.
High and tight is A-okay with me, but his smile is deeply unnerving. I cannot stand it for the simple fact his eyes are dead, and his teeth are just like staring at you. I don't like it. I don't fucking like it, man. And it, obviously, I could go in on his nose, but everyone knows that Richard Nixon,
he had
a fucking bozo-style honker on his shit and jowls like a fucking bulldog. I am not a crook.
That's really why you wanted to pick it. You were just waiting. You were teeing that up the whole time.
I was thinking of the head in the jar in Futurama the entire time.
Spot on.
Well, I mean, this guy is the best liar I think I've ever heard of in my entire life. If you watch his concession speech or his resignation speech, it's fascinating how well this man is lying to the camera and just, like, nodding along. Like, yes, I'm getting away with it. It's so great.
Well, to be fair, all of the election rigging doesn't matter if you don't participate in the election.
I mean, okay.
In hindsight.
You know, there's that.
Yeah. He didn't get away with anything because all that information is meaningless if he's not actually going to run for president.
I mean, he was president.
Right, but he was spying to help him in the next election, which he never actually
participated. Well, he wasn't spying. Let's be fair.
Well,
his party and everyone around him.
Whatever was going on that Forrest Gump saw from across the road.
That Forrest.
You fucking Forrest Gump always getting into shit. Let's not even start on
fuck that guy.
Alright, so let's real quick on my man Joe.
My man Joe.
His presidency will run from 2021 until 2074. He's just
going to
stay.
He's going to live forever. I mean, he's the oldest man ever to be president. It's fucking saying something.
Yeah, I'm feeling another single termer here for my man Joe.
I mean, absolutely.
Which is fine. Because among his accomplishments, most importantly, is he's not Donald Trump.
I'm totally okay with that. I would like someone who's not angry all the time and is very, like, calm and Mr. Rogers-esque. I'll take it.
Yeah.
He just sometimes he just strikes me as
he gets this look. Yeah, he gets this look.
He gets all, like, angry looking, like, for a second when it's like he doesn't understand what the fuck is going on. He's like, humans, you do human things like drink water and Donald Trump is a bitch.
That'd be awesome if that's his inauguration.
Yeah, he's just,
I'm Joe Biden. I'm not Donald Trump. Donald Trump is a bitch. Mic drop.
They go to fucking, he goes to put his hand on the Bible. Or do Catholics use Bibles?
Yeah.
Okay, so he goes to put his hand on the Bible, opens it. There's a microphone inside. He pulls it out. Donald J. Trump is a bitch. And I bang Melania, drops the mic, fucking walks off stage, launches a war against Russia.
And the click you roll with. You say you'll play it, but I fucked your wife.
And she ain't bad. Said you would play it, but I fucked your wife. I mean, I'll give it to Joe. I mean, he's not that much older than Donald J.
I missed that first line keep thinking Hail Mary. I know it's not that.
It's a Tupac song.
I know. It's the fucking diss song. Why can't I think of what it's called?
I don't know. We've done like 9 diss songs. Especially with Biggie and Pac.
But I missed the line. It's fuck you and the click you claim, not the click you run with. So sorry about all that to the Tupac fans. And even more sorry that I can't think of the name of the song because all that's stuck in
didn't
my
it
name,
hit him up?
In my, hit him up. Thank you. Oh. I had Hail Mary stuck in my head, and then I had Who Shot You stuck in my head, and I knew it was neither of those. Hit him up. Thank
hit
you.
Hit him up.
Claim you play it, but I fucked your wife. That still exists. Well, I mean, that's what Joe Biden's going to say.
I would be totally okay with that. For a man that's been in the Senate for 46 years, 46, and he's done nothing, he's very sleepy.
because senators are known for single-handedly doing things.
Oh yeah, they just change the entire course of the United States. Not presidents, that's not their job. They give perfect speeches and don't incite anything.
No. And honestly, after what we've just been through, it'll be nice to have a calming, like you said, calming presence in the White House. So calm, in fact, that we're gonna have to get a new cabinet position in there just to, like, check his pulse every hour.
He's gonna have a support dog.
Oh, that'll be nice.
The cabinet of good boy.
The first pup.
Yeah. The first pup, I love it. It's fucking awesome. And it has to be some weird breed. Like a Saint Bernard.
Joe Biden can't walk a Saint Bernard.
I mean, it would literally, it would probably kill him.
Have you seen Beethoven?
I have, but Saint Bernards are so great. My brother-in-law has a Saint Bernard, and my daughter's literally ridden her. Joe Biden probably weighs like 65 pounds. There's not much to that man. He could ride a Saint Bernard.
All right.
I can't even, you know, that's all I'm thinking about now. It's like, I can't even roast this man. He's a mythological being.
Somebody who's good at Photoshop and happens to be listening, get us a Photoshop of Joe Biden riding a Saint Bernard, please.
And giving thumbs up. Like, he really needs to be giving.
No, he's got to hold on, Nick.
Yeah, for dear life, because it's going like 4 miles an hour.
It's crazy here. Yeah.
It's way too fast. I just imagine Joe Biden, like, after every fucking bite of a meal he takes, he's like, oh, it's very good.
Here's the picture I'm thinking of. You find a picture of somebody riding one of those, like, mall little ride-along, little bumpy things, you know, that just go up and down. You find that picture, you replace the little ride, you put the quarter in, you replace the little rider with St. Bernard and replace whatever kid is on it with Joe Biden. That's the picture I want to see.
I will come up
with the big smile on his face.
Biden
smile.
Yeah, and those aviators. Those goddamn aviators.
Shout out Joe Biden. Congratulations. You know, you had to steal it, but we're glad you did.
You are literally the oldest person in the world to ever steal anything, so be happy about that.
No, that's not true. Old people steal shit all the time. Seinfeld has taught me anything is that old people steal shit.
As a former Macy's asset protection detective, I can confirm this, and they always put it in their titties. Of the three.
Thank you for listening to this great episode.
Let me finish this thought. Listeners deserve to know, Calvin. Of the three older women that I detained, they hid all the merchandise in their boobs and were like, no, you're not getting near these floppy things. Fuck you.
Yeah, that's what I want to do with my day.
I just said, you know what, ma'am, you're right. Or I just called my manager. I'm like, hey, it's time for you to handle this, buddy.
There you go.
I feel like they did it on purpose because I'm so handsome.
That's it. They just need to be felt up. All right, roll on.
Mom told me so. I'm really handsome.
Thank you for listening to this episode. I hope you enjoyed it and had some good laughs at some of these presidents, especially Chester. Every Chester deserves a good laugh. Master. Check us out on Twitter at @APASomething@alone_podcast. We have a YouTube channel out there. So if you're insane like Nick and like to listen to podcasts on YouTube, go over there and check us out. We're there. All of the past episodes are there. I even put everything. The first 150 are in a playlist in release order because they uploaded in some funky order because I used an application to upload it and they just went however they went. So there's a playlist there that's in release order for the first 150. After that, they just come out in order. So you'll have to deal with it.
Well, I mean, and Calvin's like the most organized spreadsheet kind of guy I know.
That's true.
So
in like 3 weeks I'll go in there and I'll start making a second playlist of like the release order of the next one.
Y'all, it's gonna be like a curated cheese and red wine pairing.
Then there'll be like a Harry Potter playlist, there'll be a Seinfeld playlist, we'll have a Game of Thrones playlist.
We'll have all the good stuff.
I don't have time up for all that. If somebody else wants to do that, go right ahead.
Not it.
Chester might be
down to do it as long as it doesn't involve Chester. You know, war.
He'd have
with
to
Van
do
Buren.
Something they would have to do something though, and that goes against their style.
Yeah, we don't fuck with doing things. I'm against all of it.
Thank you as always to those cats.
You guys stay sassy,
stay classy.